Pastor George here. I wanted to take a second and thank you for checking out our online messages. Our prayer is that this resource will challenge you, encourage you, and empower you as you dig deeper in your relationship with Christ. But in no way will it replace God's plan for your active involvement in a local church. I do want to take a second and ask you to prayerfully consider, as you participate and listen to this resource, partnering with Revive as we pursue our mission of seeing people live their fullest life in Christ. You can do this by going online to revivechurchga.com/give and making a one-time donation or setting up a recurring gift. It's through the generosity of others that we're able to provide a resource like this one. With that being said, I do want to thank you again, and here is today's message. Haven't been here, we are in a series called The Sting. All right, it's officially spooky season. As you drive around, you see the giant skeletons, you see the Halloween decorations and the graveyards and the skulls and everything. It's all over the place. And so this series is kind of matching with the theme of our culture and asking, does the church have a good theology of death? When we look at scripture from Genesis to Revelation, what does the Bible tell us about death? So week one, we looked at the origin, the fact that death is real, that it has many forms besides physical death, which we think about, but there's spiritual, relational, eternal. There's all kinds of forms of death. And it was never part of the design, but came as a consequence of sin. The last week, we looked at the fact that because there is death, we feel the sting. But that sting will not last. That we grieve the sting, but we grieve with hope, because one day Jesus will return. And today we're looking at the dominion of death, the power that death has, the strength it has. And we're exploring what the dominion of death is and how that affects our lives. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Romans 5 and 6. I'm going to spend a little bit of time in 5 and then go to 6. So you could turn there and follow along. I'm going to read verses 12 through 14 to start out. Romans 5, 12 says this: "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, in this way death spread to all people because all have sinned. In fact, sin was in the world before the law, but sin is not charged to a person's account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who did not sin in the likeness of Adam's transgressions, he is a type of the coming one." Now, this text can be kind of dense, and there's novels and tomes written about this text and what's going on here. Let me try to summarize it like this, okay? Paul is pointing out to the fact that we think about sin as breaking the law, right? So the Bible, the Ten Commandments being the law, let's focus there. It says, "Thou shalt not steal," right? So if you steal, you've sinned, right? Here's a rule. You don't follow that rule, you've sinned. And it's kind of how we define it. But what about all the people from Adam to Moses? Because the law doesn't come until after the Exodus, when Moses leads the people out. So what about before then? Does that mean that because the law wasn't there, sin wasn't there? No. Sin entered the world with Adam. And it was spread from generation to generation. We learned in week one that death was never part of the plan, and humanity chose to live under their own rule rather than under God's rule. And today, Paul is making the point that any rule other than God's rule is sin, even before the Ten Commandments. It says, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, Adam, and death came through sin, in this way death has spread to all people because all have sinned." we see that when sin comes on the scene, death follows, and it has been passed on to each and every generation since then. None of us are exempt. We all have been infected, and as sin is passed, so too goes death. Where sin leads, death follows. So the question we're exploring in today's message is, what is the dominion of death? Where is death's rule? Where is death's power? Point number one is this. Death rules where sin lives. We've got some worship music in the background. All right, let me say that again. Point number one, if you're taking notes, death rules where sin lives. So we can spot sin by its fruit. Think about a marriage, all right? Been married 12 years today. Woohoo, all right? Yay, marriage. Okay, so if a marriage falls apart, okay, our marriage isn't falling apart, okay, but if a marriage falls apart and ends in divorce, we see that that marriage is dead, right? But that marriage didn't just die all of a sudden. If you see an ended marriage, there was without doubt sin inside of that marriage. And sometimes it is sudden. Think about physical death, right? Sometimes it's sudden, but sometimes it is slow and it happens gradually over time. So it is when there is sin present inside of a marriage, it can slowly begin to die and will eventually come to death. Sometimes even you have couples who are in a dead marriage and have been dead for decades, but have no clue because it happened so slowly they didn't realize the sin was present. Where sin lives, death reigns. That's where death has its power. When you take a step back and you look at your life, you observe your life, do you see the fruit of sin? Do you see brokenness? Do you see life beginning to fade? Anxiety over rest, addiction over freedom, wandering over purpose, shame over victory. Is there sin and death reigning in your life because sin has gone unchecked in the corners, in the shadows, in the closets where nobody knows it's there? I'm about to tell a story, and I can't believe I'm using it as an illustration because it brings such shame to me, okay? It is probably one of my most shameful moments. And I always said I was never going to tell anybody this, all right? But it fits too perfectly, and I feel like the Holy Spirit says it's time to be vulnerable, okay? So you're going to judge me, and I'm just going to have to deal with it, okay? I'm not who I was. When I graduated from high school, it was time to go to college and start life, right? And so one of the things that I did was I got a credit card. Okay, you know where this story's going now, all right? I got a credit card with an extremely high interest rate, but it had a limit, so I couldn't spend too much money. And the whole goal was to build credit, because you have to have credit to do things in life. So I was like, I'm going to build my credit score. I got this credit card. If I wanted to get something big, like I wanted to buy a guitar and an amp, I saved up the money. I used the credit card to purchase it and then immediately go pay the credit card before the bill even gets there. Or I would use it for gas and then it came time to pay the bill at the end of the month and I'd pay it off. So I never carried a balance and I built credit. It did what it was supposed to. It was great. But then, you know, so there, times begin to get tough. And you begin to say, you know what, well, I have this credit card. I can just pay it now and I'll deal with it later. And you do that. And it's not a big deal. The time for the balance, you could pay most of it, maybe not all of it. But remember, this card had a very high interest rate. And slowly, it wasn't a big sudden thing, but slowly over time, that balance grew and it grew and it became unbearable. Then I got to a point in my life later in life where the Holy Spirit convicted me and said, you've got to be a good steward of your money. Lauren and I were married. I think we had Addie Lee at this point. We do the Dave Ramsey thing. You guys know what I'm talking about, the money stuff where we get out of debt. All that. We took the class. We did the whole thing. I figured out how to go with this credit card and get the interest done away with. No more interest on the card. Woohoo! And cut it up, never used it again, and start making these monthly payments. So it's a monthly payment, no interest. You just got to bite the bullet, take care of it. Eventually, it'll go away because there's no interest on it, right? So that's the plan. But there's a catch with this. And here's the deal. This is not a big deal, right? A lot of people go through this learning experience where they rack up a credit card and then have to pay it off. And so that's not what I want to highlight this morning. There's a catch to this story that I want to highlight. This plan that I was on required it to be renewed every so often. So every so often it would expire and I'd have to have this annoying 30 plus minute phone call where I'm like, hey, yeah, still want to be on this plan. Yeah, still not using the card. Yeah, still no interest. Yeah, still pay this much a month and get it all taken care of. And the phone call was always annoying. They always try to haggle and hassle and get more money than they need. And it's frustrating and I did not enjoy it, but I would have to do it every so often. Fast forward, it's time to renew it again. Life was crazy. Life was hectic. They called. I didn't have time to deal with it at that moment, so I ignored it. Now, at this point in my life, it was a very dark season. I've kind of talked about that before. All right, I was busy and stressed and dealing with a lot of things, and I just didn't have time at that moment to deal with that. And so I did what I have done too much in my life, and I procrastinated. I put it off. I ignored the phone call. I said, you know what? I'll deal with this. I'm going to get it all figured out. Just not right now. I've got too much going on. I've talked about recently my recent physical health journey, right? Where I struggled with comfort and pleasure, and I had those idols and I surrendered those to God, and it's helped me along in my health journey. But one of the ways that comfort would manifest itself was not just in food, but it was in procrastination. I would avoid hard things. Things that were difficult or annoying or required action, I would put those off because in my own will, doing things my own way, I said, I can avoid this hardship and have comfort now. This was sin. God's saying, you need to take care of these things. Do it my way. It may be difficult now, but it's going to be better in the future. Do it my way. And I said, no, God, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to put this off because I want to be comfortable. I don't want to deal with the difficulty. I had this idol in my life that said, I'm not going to deal with it. Well, fast forward, we're 2 years into house hunting, and we're finally under contract. We've been looking for 2 years trying to own our own place. We're finally going to make it happen under contract. I get a call from the bank in that process, and my credit score had taken a hit, and the loan fell through. They couldn't give us the money anymore. Because I put that off, it hit my score, and that opportunity for my family was dead. No longer will we get that house. And the pain and the shame that came from that, having to have the conversation with my wife, she knew about the credit card. Okay, that wasn't a secret. She knew what was going on there. But having to tell her that I put this off, and now it's cost us this opportunity. Had to call the realtor. Hey, I made this mistake. Now, because I feel so much shame in sharing this, I got to tell you that I made the phone call. I took care of it. In a month, the credit score was back where it was, which led us into our house that we're now with a lower interest rate. Okay, God moved in the situation. And I feel like I need to clarify that just because of the shame that I feel. But the point was this. The weight of that moment almost crushed me. The depression, the anxiety, it was all there. The self-hatred, it was all there. The idol of comfort was ruling in my life, and I let that sin rule, and death followed. The death of that opportunity. All the signs that we were talking about were there. The shame, the guilt, they were all there. I share my story with you in the hopes that the Holy Spirit is highlighting your own story. Where are you letting sin live right now? What is something God is asking you or has asked you repeatedly to give up, but you refuse to surrender it? Where in your life are you seeing the fruit of sin? Loneliness, crippling anxiety, burdened finances, bitterness, relational turmoil. If there's any sin in your life, any area where sin lives, there death has its power. Where sin is, death dominion reigns. But we have to hold on because the message doesn't end here. Sin may reign in certain areas of your life, but it does not have to. Death's dominion may lie with sin, but sin has been dealt with. If point number one is death reigns where sin lives, Point number two is death's authority has been revoked. I work part-time at a bank. Many of you guys know this. We have a thing that's called the my authority record. Okay, so I have all these things that I have authority over. I've got a cash drawer. I've got keys that go to cabinets and rooms and boxes and all this different stuff. And I have to have access to all of those things, but not everybody can have access to those things. And so they put it under my authority. The managers give me the keys. They give me the authority. They put it all in this record, and I have authority over all this different stuff. But sometimes that stuff moves. Sometimes they did a renovation one time, they came in and they took a drawer that held sensitive information, so they had to move all the information out into another drawer. So everybody in the bank had a key to a cabinet that no longer existed, right? So they had to come in and they revoked everybody's authority. They logged in, they took our keys, they broke the keys, they look at our authority record and they take it from us. So no longer do we have access to that key. No longer do we have access to that cabinet. And this happens all the time. And it's most relevant for this illustration when we have like some help come in, right? So say we're short a teller and another teller comes from another branch to come and help us. They have to give them access to the branch. Give them access to the teller line. Give them access to the restrooms. Give them access to a drawer. Give them access. Give them their keys. So they go in, create an authority record, and give it to this teller. But when the shift is over, that teller leaves, and they no longer should have any authority inside the branch. So they have to go in, they take the keys, they take the box, they take all this stuff, and then the system, they revoke their authority. They take it back. 1 Colossians 1:13 says this, "For he," talking about God, "has rescued us from the dominion of darkness." Where sin lives, death reigns. We are under the dominion of darkness because we are all descendants of Adam. Sin has power in our life. Sin has power because, or death has power because of sin. But God said, "I am rescuing you from the dominion of darkness. I'm sending my son." It says that he rescued us from the dominion of darkness, brought us into the kingdom of the son he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sin. You and I stuck in our sin, stuck in our fallen humanity, you and I under the reign of death, under the dominion of darkness, feeling the helplessness of that reality. In Jesus, we are plucked from that kingdom and placed into the kingdom of righteousness. Through Jesus' death on the cross, we receive freedom from the enemy, rescued from the rule of death. Jesus, the perfect human, willingly went to the cross. He surrendered his life to the current reign. He surrendered his life to death. He gave his life to that power that was there. But he experienced life after death. He experienced the pain and the suffering that came from death, and his body laid in that tomb, his followers wondering, weeping, mourning. What do we do now that our Messiah is gone? What do we do now that he has been killed? How do we have victory? His body laid in there as his followers mourn, and it appeared as if death had once again done its thing. But on that third day, when the stone was rolled away and the risen Savior walked out of that grave, death had been defeated. Here it is. Here's what's going on. Death's authority has been revoked. That power no longer remains in it. Death has been defeated. Sin no longer has to live in you. Death no longer has dominion. Hebrews 2:14 and 15 says this, "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity." We are human. God put on flesh, became human in Jesus. And because he did that, it says this, he did that so that by his death, he might break the power of him that holds the power of sin and death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives have been held in slavery by their fear of death. Jesus put on skin, took on death, and came out on the other side victorious so that he could break the authority of death, so that he could break that power. Because Jesus shared in our humanity, we can share in his victory. Romans 5:17 says this, "If by the one's man, if the one man's trespasses, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive the overflow of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ?" If through Adam, we all inherit sin and death, then through Jesus, we inherit his righteousness and life. Sin does not have to control you. In Christ's death, death has been defeated. And this has been a point of every sermon in this series. We're talking about death and its sting and its reality and its dominion. But the point is that death has been defeated. Jesus lived the perfect life, and he came out on the other side. The bitterness, the short temper, the comfort, the pleasure, the worry, the fear, the darkness, it has all been put in its place. You can walk in freedom and victory. You can walk in healing and life. You can walk in forgiveness and peace, because where death rules where sin lives, but that power has been revoked. Jesus reigns. Not death. Yeah, but Pastor, I hear you, and I've heard this before. But if this is true, why do I still not have freedom from sin? Freedom offered to us in Jesus requires surrender. I'm going to read Romans 6, and I'm going to read a lot of it, okay? Because it's just too good. I try to take out a little point here and there, and I just couldn't do it, okay? So if you have your Bibles, you can go to Romans 6. Next time you are battling and struggling temptation to give in and give death that power back, I challenge you, sit down, take a second, and just read Romans 6, okay? It's incredible. Romans 6, I'm going to start with verse 1 and read till I feel like being done, okay? Verse 1 says this. Paul is writing to the church. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Absolutely not. We are those who have died to sin, so how can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried through him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have new life. You see it? Just as Jesus surrendered his life to the power of death and came out victorious in life afterwards, when we live in Jesus, we can surrender self. We can die to self. We can lose our life that we may find it. We can die to self, surrender, so that we can follow in the victory of Jesus. Just as he died and have life, we can die and have life. For if we have been united with him in death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in the resurrection life like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we that will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, this is the charge to us as the church. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Don't let sin reign. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God. Surrender. That's what that is. It's offering ourselves to God is surrendering as those who have been brought from death to life. Offer every part of yourself, not part of it, not this, not that, not some section, not this, that, all of you. Offer all of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness, for sin shall no longer be your master. Sin shall no longer have dominion. No longer have power, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Paul is writing to the church and declaring this very point that we've been discussing. Sin has lost its power over the believer. And the way we access that is through our identity with Jesus. He died and was raised. He surrendered and came out on the other side. And this is how we walk in freedom from the dominion of death. Through surrender, just like Jesus. Freedom requires giving up. Freedom requires laying it down. Freedom requires surrender. The key here is that you are going to be ruled. Humanity is designed to live under authority. The question is, what authority, what dominion, what power are you going to live under? Are you going to be ruled by self, just like Adam and Eve? Are you going to be ruled by the flesh? I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to procrastinate to experience the comfort now. This is sin, and its fruit is death. Or are you going to be ruled by Christ, by the Spirit? You're going to do it God's way. You're going to do as He leads. Follow Him. This is righteousness, and the fruit of it is life. Wayne Schmidt, in his book Surrender, says this: the death resulting from sin is not simply a punishment imposed by God for violating the law. It is the natural result of being enslaved to a lousy master. It is the reward you get for choosing sin. Slavery to sin produces suffering, but slavery to God produces life. And breaking free from that slavery to sin, breaking free from the dominion of darkness, requires more than brute strength. It requires more than grit, more than determination. It requires surrendering to a new master. And God doesn't want, we read this, God doesn't want partial surrender. He wants all of you. There's an old legend, I don't know if it's true or not, but it's a legend and it works great for this illustration, okay? About a Russian leader, his name was Ivan the Great. And Ivan the Great converted to Christianity. And when he converted to Christianity, so did all of his soldiers. And this presented a problem for the church, because the church had this policy that said that they were not going to baptize professional soldiers. So they had to work together and come up with a compromise. And this is what they did. They said, we will baptize each soldier by immersion. All right, so they're going to dunk all the soldiers. Everyone that's converted to Christianity, they're getting dunked. They're going underwater, okay? And when we baptize them, they have to keep one hand up out of the water. So we're going to consecrate all of them to the Lord except for their sword arm, so that when they go to war and they battle and they're dealing out death with their sword arm, it's because it hasn't been consecrated, okay? This is ridiculous. All of you are looking at me like, what? Yeah, you're right. This is ridiculous, okay? But this is the kind of life that so many Christians try to live, where we will give all of us to God except for that one little part. I will consecrate all of myself. I will surrender all of myself except... Many of us attempt to surrender like this. I will give God all except for forgiving my parents. I will give God my all except for my diet. I'll give God everything except for this self-hatred, except for the acceptance of my friends or my family, except for my pride. God, you can have all of me, but this one thing right here, it's really, I still need it. I need that, whatever that is. So I'm just going to slowly give that up, maybe. You can have all of me except for the one hand that I don't let get baptized. This kind of partial surrender does not lead to a life free from the dominion of death, because sin still lives. The question is not, have you surrendered this area or that area? Because as you walk and as you mature, there will always be new things that need to be surrendered. The question is, does Jesus have all of me, so that when the new thing arises, I have a pattern of surrender I've already established, and I know that I will give this to Him? And listen, sin has been put to death. For many of us, we think, okay, this is like the lethal injection, okay? It's something quiet and simple. When Paul is writing about this, he's thinking about the cross. This is an exhausting, brutal battle. And sometimes putting sin to death takes work, but does Jesus have all of you? Are you willing to do the work of surrender? Death's dominion is with sin, and sin's power has been revoked through the blood of Jesus. We can be free from death's dominion by surrendering to Christ. This is the last thing I'm going to say, okay? Adam and Eve believed that life with the knowledge of good and evil was better than what they had. God had set out perfect creation, death not involved, where there's going to be creation, creativity, expanding, growing, all for the glory of God. Life was going to abound and continue to increase. They were going to produce of the land, produce of themselves. It was all going to be wonderful production for the love and the glory of God. But they thought, oh, you know what? What this serpent is telling me is better than what God has for me. And they bought into that lie and immediately stepped into the dominion of death and sin. What about you? Do we believe that surrendering ourselves to God is really the best thing that we can do? Or do we think that God's will for our life is somehow second best? Death's power has been revoked. But in order to access that freedom, it requires our surrender. Are you willing to surrender? Let's pray.